Hey, it's Monday night, Voiceover Body Shop. Cripes, what a week.
Boy, you're telling me.
Oh, well, we have the perfect guest for tonight, too. Jeff Umberger is joining us from Atlanta, and we're going to be talking about the stuff going on in the voiceover business.
We sure are.
Yeah. Plus, we've got lots of tech talk to talk about. We're going to talk about properly setting levels, and we had a question about microphones. What's the best mic for voiceover?
Our favorite.
Yes. Anyway, all coming up in just a second right here on Voiceover Body Shop. Don't go away.
Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere. Together, in one place, George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred, myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, finally, to bring you all the latest technology, the superstars of voiceover today, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is Voiceover Body Shop.
Voiceover Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan's signature products. Antland Productions, where you can get a killer demo. Source Elements, who bring you Source Connect, Source Connect Live, and Source Connect Now. VoiceOver Extra, your one-stop site for voiceover resources. Vizzy Demos, your audio demo never looked so good. VO2GoGo.com, announcing camera-ready you. VoiceOverView.com, your voiceover business made simple. And the VO Dojo, take your voiceover career all the way.
And now, live from their super secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Thank you, John Taylor. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS. All right. Monday night. And we're here to talk about voiceover.
And what's going on
in
the world of voiceover.
Really. I mean, lots of bad news all over the world.
Yeah.
But we've had our own pieces of kind of lousy news here in the voiceover world in the last week. I'm sure you're all aware of it.
Yes.
And if you're not, you're living under a rock if you're in voiceover.
Yeah.
But we have a great guest tonight. Jeff Umberger is going to be here. He's an agent in Atlanta, an independent agent, and one of the leading independent agents out there. He's just got an interesting perspective and knack to tell it like it is. And we're looking forward to hear his perspective.
Definitely.
And along with some other stuff about how to deal with your agent.
Indeed.
Or to find an agent. Or mm-hmm. all that other stuff that has to do with agents. So that's coming up. And we also have a new mugman tonight, believe it or don't.
Hey!
At the end of the show. So make sure you stay tuned for that.
He's been busy.
He has. Jake has been busy. Along with hitting his head on the top of a small car. Yeah, we spent like 7 hours in a car dealership this weekend.
Yeah.
Trying to buy a car. We lease this car. We take it home. Go out to dinner. Jacob gets in the back seat. His head hits the top of the in the back seat. He's like, I don't fit in here.
Would you call this car a mid-sized sedan?
No, this was a small plug-in hybrid.
Yeah,
made mm-hmm. by an American manufacturer.
Yeah,
but we ended up with a nice Chevy Malibu hybrid.
Nice,
which he does fit in the back seat of, and now Marcy's happy because now we have a 5-seat car, and life is just fabulous.
Good for you guys.
And it's like driving a Camry, only nicer with all the 2017 stuff on.
Awesome.
So happy with that. Anyway, let's get to the news.
And now, the VoiceOver Extra VOBS News, the latest and most comprehensive voiceover industry news, brought to you live.
Alrighty, well, this has been the week for voiceover news. And here it is for August 14th, the voiceover extra news, VDC Voice Bank. Now what's ahead?
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, did you calm down over the weekend? Online tempers flared late last week when Voices.com, the online voiceover casting powerhouse and arguably the largest company in this biz, so they say, announced a giant leap in the growth of the purchase in their purchase of VoiceBank.net, the online casting service that caters to agents. Yes, the deal reflects the inevitable trend in all growing industries to consolidate and change. But for many voice talents, there's a shadow of fear about how this change will affect the way they obtain work. And of course, their future income. What's really ahead?
Over the weekend, VoiceOverExtra.com polled scores of folks in the VO industry, including other online casting sites. And tomorrow, VoiceOverExtra will post these thoughts about the deal and what it could mean for the future of the voiceover industry. And by the way, Voices.com and VoiceBank will be invited to respond and share their visions of the voiceover future as well.
Can't wait.
Here are highlights from tomorrow's article. In addition, or I should say, in announcing the purchase, Voices.com CEO and founder David Cicirelli said, quote, "The acquisition will create a new paradigm for the process of securing voice talent across the globe. Acquiring VoiceBank.net will see Voices.com strengthening relationships in the community and further delivering on the evolving needs of clients and talents alike." Cicirelli also said that the two companies will continue to operate as separate platforms, but that VoiceBank will immediately benefit from Voice's deep investment in technology and systems. As a side note, earlier this year, Voices.com received what was called, quote, an $18 million growth investment from Morgan Stanley Capital Management.
From the VoiceBank side, CEO Jeff Hicks told customers in an email that much will remain the same, except that invoices will now come from Voices.com. Certainly, change is in the air, but how fast will it come? Roger King, the CEO of PN Agency, and ethnic voice talent agencies in Toronto, Canada, thinks that for the short term, at least, it'll be business as usual. But he adds, we'll have to see how it all plays out. Now, King says that earlier this year, Voices was exploring the idea of competing with VoiceBank by offering a service to agents on Voices' site. A Voices.com rep actually approached him with the idea concerning that. But he said, quote, I guess in the end they decided that rather to compete, it was just easier for them to buy the damn thing.
Meanwhile, popular voice actor and coach J. Michael Collins believes the merger is just, quote, the first domino in the Voices.com growth plan. He sees a scenario in which Voices.com buys rival Voice 123, which will create a three-tier job marketplace like this. Low-paying fiber jobs at the bottom, Voices controlling a massive share of the medium to high quality non-union work, and work through the SAG-AFTRA union. Plus, he adds, quote, whatever work voice talent can bring in through their own marketing.
Now, of course, a large segment of the voiceover talent sphere was already upset with Voices.com for the way it reduces pay to voice talent by taking large percentages of middleman fees in the talent-client transactions. World Voices Organization, I know them, the 800-plus member trade group for voice talents is working on an official response to the merger, which WOVO President Dave Courvoisier says is a troubling development for the voiceover community and which upsets the apple cart as it applies to the agent-talent relationship. So look for more about this deal and industry reaction tomorrow at voiceoverextra.com. And if you want an email alert and link to the article, sign up for VoiceOver Extra's new article alerts at the voiceoverextra.com homepage. You'll find hundreds more great articles there now, too. Whoa, what a week.
Yeah, that's a whopper.
Yeah, I mean, it's been the email, I had to delete 3,000 Facebook messages regarding this story this week.
Holy smokes.
It's driving me nuts.
Does that mean you have your Facebook notifications turned on so they come into your email box?
It turned off for a while, and I was like losing stuff. I'm like, it was on Facebook? Oh, I better turn that back on. 3,000.
I could be getting them. I don't know. They just get automatically filtered out.
Pay
by
no
Google,
attention.
So I don't
Facebook
know.
It's a vortex.
It is into a major time suck for sure.
Anything interesting in tech this week?
Well, I mean, The most relevant thing to me right now is that there is a new business that I'm involved with. It's my own business. It's just me. It's my tech brand. It's my brand of tech support. And so now if you're looking to find me on the web to help you with your tech support, go find me at GeorgeTheTech, or I like to say GeorgeTheTech.com. And it's my new home on the web for technology. So if you're looking to find me for doing tech support of all kinds, designing studios, creating processing presets, holding your hand through, setting up Pro Tools, whatever it is, you can find me there. So that's the new brand that I came up with. Do you like it? And if you're really a geek and you like really short domains, I have GeorgeTheTech. I have GeorgeTheTech as well for the geeks. In fact, don't be confused. If you go to GeorgeTheTech.com, it actually does say in the address bar, GeorgeTheTech. Because I could. The domain was on sale. It was really, really
what
cheap.
What a deal!
It was cheap. I couldn't resist. So anyway, if the site is funky or anything's funky, please send me an email to GeorgeTheTech42@gmail.com. Let me know if there's anything you're looking for you can't find, or if something doesn't work on the site, let me know. I'm constantly updating it and improving it and tweaking it, trying to make it easier and better to find stuff on there.
Cool. All righty.
So that's where I'm at. That's the most important tech news I have right
now. And a lot of tech involved in that tech.
Yeah, for sure.
So anyway, Jeff Umberger is our guest. He's going to be with us in just a couple of minutes. We've got a couple of tech questions we got to deal with, and I want to show you something about setting your levels, which is something we get lots of questions about. So stay tuned. We shall be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop, so do not go away.
What's a Visi visual voice demo, and why do you need one? A Visi takes your audio-only voice demo and wraps a video around it. The audio track is your voice demo. The video track tells your story and reinforces your brand. And why do you need a Visi? Well, what do people see when they're listening to your demo now? Your voice demo may sound terrific, but if your prospect gets distracted, they may not even remember hearing it. By engaging both their senses, sight and sound, your chances of getting noticed and remembered go way up. Besides, when your demo shows up as a video, you're instantly going to stand out from the crowd of voice talents whose demos are nothing but MP3 files that go in one ear and out the other. Your voice demo never looked so good as it will when it's a Visi demo. Book your Visi visual voice demo today at VisiDemos.com.
Alrighty, VO2GoGo.com. Everything you need to be a successful voiceover artist. VO2GoGo.com's voiceover curriculum is a 5-time winner of Backstage Magazine's Reader's Choice Award for Best VO Classes and Best VO Teacher, David H. Lawrence XVII. It's 36 classes online or in person across a year-long course featuring not just classes in the art of voiceover, but also in the commerce and science of running your voiceover business. And each month's class includes a workout for all participants. Unlock the entire curriculum once for over 45 hours of videos and audio sample workouts, and you'll get lots of time behind the mic. Get more details and get a pro membership at vo2gogo.com/VOBS to get a huge discount on that. That's VO2GoGo.com/VOBS and get yourself a super discount on the 45 classes that David teaches over at VO2GoGo.com.
This is John Bailey, the Epic Voice, and you're watching VOBS.TV, Monday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9:30 Newfoundland.
Hi, this is Bill Farmer, and you are watching VoiceOver Body Shop. It's great.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
Mr. Farmer.
Yes. Got to get more celebrity voices on there.
If there were only some around in this area. It's too bad.
I see them riding by in their bikes, you know,
floating
in their BMWs.
Floating by in their blimps.
Yeah, I see Pat Fraley in his white Camaro zipping up and down Magnolia. Hey, look, there's Pat Fraley.
Yes.
Anyway.
What's going on?
We've got a question.
Oh, good.
And then we're going to talk about setting levels.
Okay, perfect.
And the question is, it says, hi there. That's a great way to start a question. Love the show. I'm learning so much. I've got a budget of $300 for a new mic. My last mic was a cheapy USB mic with all sorts of issues. Where do I start? Help! I've attached my demo in case my voice quality should be a factor. Thanks. Emily in Philly.
Philly,
yeah, right.
My hometown.
Yeah, well, for $300, you really shouldn't have a problem.
No. I mean, she said her last mic was a USB, so that implies now she has to buy a mic and a USB
interface. Right.
And a mic cable.
Right.
A mic cable, and a USB interface. She's got to buy three things.
Right.
Do not buy anything that's bundled together from any manufacturer.
Or Banjo Emporium.
Yeah, at that price point, no. I would highly recommend against that.
Yeah.
But we've recommended a lot of sub-$200, $300 mics on the show. One of our favorites being Audio-Technica AT-2035.
The 35 the, or the 2040.
The 2040 or the 2050.
Yeah.
They start going up in price from there.
Yeah.
The 35 is that kind of the sweet spot.
Right. And the thing is when you buy a mic like that,
yeah,
it could be the only mic you ever need.
It could be.
Depending on the type of work you do and how well you use it, because as we keep telling everybody, it's not the mic. I mean, it is a little bit the mic. It's
certainly
how
part
you,
of the equation.
Yes. It's
part of the
how you use it.
Yeah.
See, now, this is the way you're supposed to use it, the way we have it positioned here.
Yeah, ideally. I mean, we're pretty far away, but we get away with being this far away because we have a very big space around us. We have a large open space behind the mic, and it allows us to work this far away from the mic. In your space, you're going to need to be probably somewhere right around here, maybe even as this close as this to get a great sound off of your microphone.
Right. But don't put your finger face in front of it, because that doesn't help the sound at all.
New from Whammo. No. Yeah, you don't want to do that. But a mic like that will work well. If you can liberate the budget up a little bit, up the scale a little bit, there are some nicer mics that become available. You like the VO1A. But in that price range, that mic and a Scarlett Solo for $100, a Steinberg UR12 for $80.
A Yamaha AG03.
For 150-ish.
If that much. I think I got mine for 129.
Yeah. Those are all really great options for audio interfaces. And then don't spend any less than, say, $25 on a mic cable. It should be at least generally about $25 or more. Avoid mics that have a molded microphone connector.
Yeah.
You can tell those because I don't know if we have one here to show, but because we don't use them. But a mic with a molded connector is generally cheaper quality, and they're not made to be repairable. So you want like a Mogami or a Belden or a Kinnair or... what's another affordable but good microphone cable? What's that company called? Monoprice?
Yes.
Believe it or not, Monoprice, as inexpensive as their cables are actually regarded to be really good.
Cool.
So they're another good option for you.
As long as they're soldered right and assembled properly by slave labor in some foreign country. But they work really hard at it.
There are cables made in the U.S.,
Buy U.S. cables.
Though. Yeah.
Buy American.
There's a company called Gotham Audio. Yeah. I think they're in New York.
I would think.
They
the
make
name
custom
like that.
Cables. You say, I want this length with this thing, and then they make them, and they're not that expensive. So,
cool.
Another nice option.
Alrighty. So you have lots of choices, Emily, in Philly.
You sure do.
As I like to say, it's like standing in the checkout line at the supermarket, and you're like looking at the mints and the gum, and like,
yeah.
What? Oh, yeah. No, those are cucumbers. You've got so many choices, and the choices. Remember, nobody needs to see how the sausage is made. It only needs to be heard. So
let me say, I'll call out a mic I would not buy, just because it's so common a microphone and it's used in so many studios. I don't feel bad at calling this mic out.
Okay.
But the Rode NT1A,
a little quiet,
is a little low on the output. It's supposed to be very quiet, but it's also very bright.
Uh-huh.
And on a lot of women's voices, women generally tend to be on the sibilant side. Not everybody, but less experienced, I should say, voice actors.
Someone who doesn't know how to use it, right?
Yeah, they're less, and they tend to be a little more sibilant. So that mic really magnifies sibilance. So you might want to avoid that one in particular.
All righty. All right. Well, now it's time for
2017.
All right.
All righty. Well, one of the things that we get asked a lot about,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we get email like, or they send us a sample.
Yeah.
Is they usually will, the levels will be wrong. Either most of the time, way too low.
Most of the time.
Very rarely too hot.
Right.
Because if you record too hot, it's pretty damn obvious.
I think it's pretty obvious to most, the uninitiated, initiated, that it's too hot.
Right.
But how do we know when it's too low?
Well, we'll take a look at it and see.
Yeah.
So, Andrew, if you can pop on DAW view there so George and I can actually show what's going on here.
There it is.
Okay. Well, that's not actually what I'm looking at here.
I think it's a frozen output, maybe, because
all right.
Let's go ahead and restart the NDI scan or reinsert the shot again.
Okay.
Maybe you have to add the shot again, Andrew.
All right. Let's.
You didn't need a quick twist away. Just
well, it's okay. I wanted to do it anyway.
Okay. It's still running.
Okay.
Twist away is still running.
Oh, there we go. Okay. All right. Now we're
reinserting the shot, Andrew. Did it work?
It would appear that it has. All right. Let me hit record and let's see. Well, I don't know. Doesn't seem to be doing it.
NDI. It's our friend and our foe all at the same time.
Yes.
Well, Andrew's going to keep working on that. We'll describe to you what we're talking about in the meantime.
Right. Well, here's how I can do it. I can just take my laptop. Zoom in on that, would you?
Yeah.
All right.
That's fine.
All right. Well, there's a meter on this end over here.
Yeah.
And it looks like a traffic light.
Right.
It used to be a VU meter. It would go like this. Oh, no, you're brilliant. Look at that. All right. You can actually see it, too. Let me get it out of the light. There we go. Okay, you can see what's going on over here. As I talk...
Okay, look at this.
What?
The meter is green, so it's being keyed out, so it's red.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an anomaly. Normally, it would be
green. That's kind of weird. Okay.
Normally, the meter would be green. Okay?
Only on the internet will you see it like this. Anyway... The meter is here, and the meter is arranged in the lower part is green, which is showing up as orange or as the sunset, and then there's it turns yellow, and then there's a red.
Mm-hmm.
And what you want to be able to do is modulate well into the green and up into the yellow.
Yeah, you should land in the yellow a lot,
right?
And very rarely land in the red.
Very, very. It should be like a flash in the red.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, on most interfaces. Like, say, a Scarlett 2i2, there's actually a ring around the input dial that says,
you know, similar
that will, it will flash green and red, and if it's in the red all the time, you're too loud.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Now, I have found the sweet spot on most interfaces is about 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, start 2:30, 3 o'clock on the clock.
That's a great place to start.
And that usually is probably fine. If your voice isn't very loud... You might have to give it a little bit more gain. If your voice is really loud or you're getting too close to the mic, you can back it off.
Or if you're doing characters.
Right.
Like a video game or something like that.
I draw my sword at your face, you knave!
Yeah.
Gotta back off the mic.
And you're not going to get booked. I mean, if you're doing that, you're going to have to use less gain.
Maybe that's what it is. I've been wondering.
Less gain for louder reads, more gain for softer reads, but land in that yellow range. And no matter what software you're using, if it's Audacity or Audition, they pretty much have all standardized that scale.
Right.
Right. Green is to about minus 12 level dB.
Right.
Yellow is from minus 12 to minus 6. And minus 6 to 0 is that red range. And I think it's the same pretty much from software to software.
It is. And the thing about digital recording is you got lots of what we call headroom.
Headroom, yeah.
Where, you know, you can go above 0. But not stay there. I mean, it's what we call a transient. It's just one little piece of a wave that is too loud. But if it stays up there, that's when you start to get breakup and modulation.
You can spike for just a moment into the red, but if it sustains there, you're going to get nasty, nasty distortion.
Yeah. Now, the standards that we've set, since we know this better than anybody, is you should really be trying to shoot between minus 6 and minus 4 for your peaks. You can go to 3. But try to average getting your peaks up that high.
Yeah. I mean, we're trying to set standards for this stuff with Wovo and the way we describe our best standards or best practices, I should say, for recording. If you're recording with 24-bit recording quality with a 24-bit interface, you do get a good bit more leeway, actually, because I have found that at 24-bit, you're actually able to record at a lower level and still maintain the same kind of noise floor. And the reason that is in 24-bit, the difference between 24 and 16-bit, it only is noticeable at the quiet end of the scale.
Right.
It's only noticed in the very, very quiet stuff. So with 24-bit, you get more resolution in the quiet areas. So in other words, if you record lower levels, it's okay. You can make up the gain later. You're actually allowed to normalize it and not lose or not add a lot of noise.
Right.
But with 16-bit, you might add a considerable amount of noise if your levels are only at minus 18, for example.
Right.
You boost those up with a normalize and it's hiss city after that.
So you got to record loud enough initially. So make sure that your levels are set right initially. And the louder you are without overmodulating, the better it is in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Because the less you have to do to it, because it's picking you up and everything that every subtlety of your voice is there.
That's right.
So anyway. All right. Jeff Umberger is going to join us in just a minute or two here. And we're going to talk about this debacle last week that continues on and how it affects him and you and us and everybody else in the voiceover business. So stay tuned. We'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success. In one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
All right, let's talk about our wonderful sponsor, Source Elements, the purveyors and creators of Source Connect, the premier way to connect your studio to another studio for live audio streaming. It is really the best replacement or backup in some cases for those who are using ISDN. Here's why. Their system keeps the audio in sync through the entire session. You will not ever have your time slightly drift out of sync as it does with other systems that run on things like Chrome or any of the web browsers. Those systems are notorious for not staying in sync. Why does that matter? If you're doing stuff to picture, where they have to have your audio match and sync up with cues and things, it will not necessarily do that with other systems. Source Connect stays sample rate accurate throughout the entire session, guaranteed. The only thing that ever goes wrong is maybe a dropout in the signal, and then you can just pick up after the dropout, but it tends to be extremely reliable these days. And it's being used by major networks, like maybe you've heard of CBS. So it's a big system, but it's made more affordable now than ever. You can go sign up for a 15-day free trial at source-elements.com. And you can pay on a monthly fee basis that is much less expensive to get started with. And last but not least, you don't have to have an iLock key to use it. Go check them out at source-elements.com. Tell them we sent you. We'll be right back here with Jeffrey Umberger.
Having dinner tonight? How about having some VO too?
VoiceOver Body Shop.
Have some voiceover with your dinner tonight on VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
Mine back. And, oh, we're back!
Hey, we're back!
How about right. that echo again?
Again.
I love the echo button.
All right. That's good to know.
It's right there.
I'll have to remember that sometime.
It says echo.
Okay, well. It's been a week like no other that I can ever remember in the voiceover business. And it's something that's been affecting agents. And the timing is fabulous because we booked Jeff
A couple of months ago.
So yeah. It's perfect timing that he's on here tonight. Joining us from Atlanta, Georgia, one of the best agents out there, a guy that everybody respects, Jeffrey Umberger. Jeff, welcome to our show, finally.
Thank you, Dan and George. I sure loved listening to that first half of the show. It's you guys, I refer you so many times because of exactly what I just picked up, so many tidbits that are, that everybody asks. And whenever they ask me, thinking I'm just the stop source for that, I just send them your way. But it's great to hear it live in the moment, too. You guys are something else.
Thank you. We really appreciate that. Yeah. Now, you're a voiceover talent agent. How does one tell us your journey on your way to VO agentdom?
It goes back a number of years. I started acting in 1983, and I was trying to become, trying to do voiceover as well. But I, thanks to, I guess, what amounts to dyslexia, although maybe undiagnosed, it's what happens when I try to talk live. So you'll see that tonight. It's more when I try to read live, though. So it was a nightmare. My agent said, "Hey, I've seen you on, the stuff you do for TV or stage, but you suck at voiceover, and it's because I'm." So that's what agents are for, I guess, to tell you the truth. So from there, I went into casting and then into agenting, and I began working with the voiceover artist actors in the booth. And learned a lot about direction. Also learned a lot about Voice Bank. That at the time and still was the main breakdown service for VO. And so I went from one side of the camera, I guess you might say, or one side of the mic to the other. I always seem to have had a pretty good ear for, I guess, what works with voiceover, what sells. When I hear stories being told, I know when they are being effective or when they're not, and I know what sounds are good and what are not, like hopefully all voiceover agents. And so understanding that knack, I felt like I had a bond with actors anyway, and I thought this is a great way to maybe find a niche in the industry, and I've enjoyed it ever since.
Yeah. Now you're in a unique place. You're not here in LA. You're in Atlanta. Does that give you an advantage, or is it what are the differences between, say, an Atlanta-based agent and one here?
Well, it's becoming less and less. You know, when I first started, I guess if you go back 12 years, we were still sending out cassette tapes. but no, it was much more just our market. Even though it was Voice Bank, we weren't being invited. I had to schedule the talent to come in and audition every 5 minutes. So that alone made it sort of isolated. But once the digital nature of our business took hold, we became everyone's backyard and best friend. So that, to me, made Atlanta and any other market, for that matter, a player. And then it depends on how you play yourself and how you make your roster stand up against the enormous talent. You've doubled your competition, tripled it, quadrupled it. But I think the cream still does rise, so I've been delighted to find over the years the gradual, opportunity reach our coast, our southern coast, and allow us the opportunities to do things that weren't being offered, even though it was digital, even 5 years ago. Video games are being offered more. They're even flying, Telltale flew some of our talent out to the Bay Area, which I thought was fantastic. That's when I really cursed my dyslexia. I would have loved to have done that. and then it keeps evolving to where, yep, it's fine wherever you are. And Atlanta, of course, has amazing studios. And we have, I guess, right now at the moment, seemingly the busiest film and TV market numbers-wise in the world. I mean, I know it may not be considered the market, but as the numbers of TV shows and films and productions here in Atlanta is incredible. So I think it's brought awareness. So I'm thankful to that. It just kind of fell into my lap. I supported the fight in our state house for the tax credits.
Good.
And we passed them, and it's a great community here, and we've fought very hard for it, and we're fighting hard to keep it. But the talent pool is growing, very good talent pool. And I put up my Atlanta people against anybody in the country. And I represent somebody, I think, from every state and seven countries. And so it's definitely a different business than it was 12 years ago.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. Let's really get into the really big news this week regarding Voices.com's purchase of VoiceBank. Can you explain specifically what VoiceBank does as a breakdown, what they call a breakdown service, and how agents interact with it?
I think there's new meaning to the word breakdown this week.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit. It does break down the roles that are being offered, and it's basically the only one, or was, you know, the primary one where all agencies of the country were visible and seen together, clumped in, if you will. It was our ship across the, you know, across the cove together. It's a place where any producer or any casting director, whatever, would be able to invite agencies all across the country to submit their voices. And it is a very reasonable service. For me specifically, the majority of my work is non-union. So, I did a lot of fighting throughout the years of jobs that would come through for whatever reason, even big companies. I usually wasn't too shy about naming them because it's not a charity. You know, Hasbro is not a charity, yet the rate really reflected a charity rate. And I fought those kind of circumstances. And VoiceBank had our back to the degree that they could. They tried not to control their incoming clients too much to say you can't charge that. They were trying to help educate them on what rates really were more in a fair range. And but you know, lately it's a downturn in the entire business. Every other job is one that we just can't agree to. I wouldn't put my talent forward for it out of protection. There are jobs where you say, okay, I'll step out as an agent. I won't take commission. It's a fun opportunity, but it's below what I think is normal. But hey, if you just have nothing better to do, it's not going to be something that breaks down the entire industry. It's a one-off. Have fun. But these rates recently have been too abusive to even be, hey, try it. You know, it's decent. There's been a lot of non-decency going on.
Just a bit. Yeah. So what does the takeover by Voices.com mean to you as an agent, and then, of course, then to your clients?
I guess that's twofold. You know, as of late, to expand on what I was just getting at, is that less and less jobs that were coming out in today's market were agreeable rate-wise. So I was turning down a fair amount. I myself, as a, you know, a subscriber to VoiceBank, I'm allowed to upload auditions to other clients that didn't come through VoiceBank simply as an FTP. And that was very streamlined, a very easy place to do that. So that, in a sense, that became sort of my VoiceBank's best experience, was using the FTP nature of it. And of course, being visible among all of the agencies, and to have, you know, I have received invitations from other clients across the country that I would not have probably had I not been on VoiceBank. So it was definitely valuable. I think waking up at 7:30 in the morning to see an email that says, hey, I went to sleep last night in my home and there were two people that have been paying rent here. Now there are about 175 people here and your rent's gone up and you have to pay this person. And it was a shock. I didn't make it through the day. I did, you know, sever my ties that day. I did speak.
You were like one of the first agencies to do that, and quickly said so.
Well, I didn't want the day to end, especially, I think, the element that says who my next subscription fee would be going to. I wanted it to go to VoiceBank. I wanted VoiceBank to stay what it was, or continue perfecting it. I didn't want the day to end with me being involuntarily associated with all the other inhabitants who took over my house overnight. And I also, in that post that I made, the announcement was not to drag into the garden anything that I didn't agree with. It is more to bolster what it is that I want for my talent, want for my company, want for our industry. And by that statement of leaving and by that announcement of what I do want to continue to do more of, might suggest maybe where I felt like it wasn't going to be as a place for that to happen. I don't know. Time will tell. I did say in my statement, I'm leaving for now, because everyone is possible to grow and change. I know that company to be a little bit more of a different heart or a different approach. And it's not an approach I agree with. And I'm probably not alone in that. And so I moved on.org for now, and I'm happy about it. Agents, one thing that it's done, I think, for my side of the business is that agents have come together en masse, as I was phrasing it earlier, to see that everybody has the band-aids on. Our ship, which is the agent side of the voiceover ship, was deboned. And I think all the agents came collectively together to see who was swimming or who was in their bunks dead.
Yeah, really. Now, it times were not great for agents as it was, unless you're really, if you're really a top agent and you're very successful at what you're doing. But rates were going down and it was tough, and a lot of agents were complaining. There's one legendary guy who's talking about voiceover Armageddon. And how the rates are just falling through the floor. So this comes at a bad time, but I get the impression that perhaps you see it as an opportunity.
Oh, an enormous opportunity. I think we've never been united. I've never spoken. I haven't talked to nobody like I have talked to other agents this week. It's been a phenomenal way to bond in a way that I know there's, I guess factions or fragments or people, or groups, or I haven't seen anybody try to form an army like I have this week in a good, positive way for the industry. And I myself, the bulk of my work, it comes from the blessings of having been invited to jobs before, and it was a decent experience, and I've been reinvited, and my roster enjoys hopefully the benefits from that type of business moving forward and growing. My company, the business did grow last year very well, and I was very proud of that, and I'm still proud of that. It does mean that I have to double down and redirect and make sure that I'm not laying my eggs in one basket via voice bank or one place, period, whatever it may be, whether it's voice bank or any other setup like that. None of us can afford to do that. Agencies can't, talent can't. You can't rest on any laurels. Laurels never paid the bills. And so it has ignited a lot of positive things.
Well, that's good. So I doubt you can actually comment on what all you agents are talking about.
We're talking about the bad actors I'm just kidding.
Well, I figured that goes on anyway, but.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. There are no bad actors, only bad
that's
scripts.
That's me, right.
But we've been talking about, this. It's a dangerous thing with bonding and combining efforts among agents, because the collusion word is the C word of that. And everyone has been ultra careful not to step into those muddy waters. But they are coming in together in, I guess, certain types of protective coalitions where we all at least know that we're thinking on the same protective path for the rights of talent. We're thinking in terms of keeping rates from plummeting. We're not saying anything about what rates are normal. We're saying that suggested rates are what we've seen for years and were fair. And typically, rates do go up with inflation. And you have it added to what's happened with the rates, the digital ability of people, is that sound studios are having to redirect what they do to make money, because they're being taken out of the equation. It's got to be, the job has to be either a talent who could offer complimentary ISDN, which means a talent goes to an agency or a sound studio and gets a talent rate maybe, or has to do it out of their home studio. Yeah, I think that opportunity is great for them to have that, but it means a sort of a well-established segment of the business, recording studios, are having to they're having to fix their anthill that got kicked over. And that's nice. It challenges them for that. But there's been sort of a destruction while we've grown. The digital nature of it has destroyed a lot of things, but it's also built up, some of the anthills look a lot better.
Interesting way to look at it. Yeah, the business has changed dramatically in the last in the last 5 years. I mean, I've been doing this for 15 years, and the landscape changed. So many more people in the business, and trying to sideline, you know, agents that, you know, a lot of companies have tried to sideline the agents and push them off and say, you know, we can just deal directly, especially the pay to plays, which are essentially acting as agents themselves. But are they doing so legally? But that's more of a legal question.
Well, I have always said there's room for everybody, and it may be a little Pollyanna-ish to say that, but regardless of whether I say it and think it, it is true. There's going to be someone somewhere working, and if we can only just put the fight up that the business of entertainment has never gone backwards in pay, except this one right now, and there's no reason for it. The value and the worth and the time that actors put into their resources and their training and their abilities and what they do when they voice something, it still has the same effect to sell. And there's no reason that it should be less. There is got to just be an acceptance that we are worthy of a slow, hey, make it a slow climb, make it no climb, but going backwards is not acceptable. And everybody that chooses to owe it alone or can't get an agent, then they owe it to their industry and their own self-worth to know what rates compensate fairly for the worth and the value of what a voice can do for anything that is voiced.
That's right. Now, one of the things that I know, talking amongst my colleagues, of which I have many, talking about the fact that because the business has changed so much, commercials, which are the high-paying real end of the business, such a tiny percentage of what's going on out there and where the money is made. And a lot of people are, well, we like to refer to ourselves as lunch pail, you know, voice actors. We do the e-learning. Some people are doing audiobooks. There's so much different genres of material out there, and that agents are like, well, we just tend to go to where the big bucks are, as opposed to helping their talent, find, you know, better pay for some of this more mundane work. But why aren't agents going out and finding that type of stuff for people if the market's changed that much?
I don't think a lot of them are not, if I phrase that right.
Okay.
I don't poo-poo any faction of the VO the money chest. There's, you know, with audiobooks, I will sometimes step out because typically audiobooks don't pay what they should. And I don't want to take my 10% out of what it's already a low rate, but I'm happy to be a suggester for, hey, go there. They're looking for it and you can go directly. But it also involves how many people go through agency on a lower paying job, sometimes like IVR or e-learning. Sometimes they don't go through agents because of the budget. Won't they feel like there's a budget of the middleman, and it's really not a big difference. But I think we as agents are constantly on guard about losing our step, losing our place. For those of us who care about being a voice that protects the talent and advocates for the talent, there's agents that just strictly want it to be a moneymaker, and some of them are successful at it and some of them are not. For me, my intention to be an agent was to take what I learned and liked about being an actor and make actors feel more comfortable with the agent process. Having been on that side of it, sort of on the outside of the fence, I knew what it was to feel vulnerable, to feel forgotten, or maybe just not thought of at all. So there's a void, there's a sort of a chasm between talent and agencies. And I always thought maybe I can help make actors feel more wanted, included, part of the picture, the partnership. And so I like that, and I like going towards any kind of activity that could give them some money. And, you know, I'm not in it for volunteerism, so I try to get as much money for all of us without gouging anybody.
Yeah, well, good segue there, because the fact of the matter is people need to know how to deal with an agent. A lot more people in the voice business now than there were before, and not a high percentage are actually represented. Let's start. How, if someone's looking for an agent, is it worth it to look for an agent, or is it better to have an agent look for you?
Ooh, it works both ways really well. I mean, I actively go to showcases, or I go to not even where people are actors. I go, especially if it's a commodity, like maybe a Spanish speaking type thing, I'll go to where maybe they're not specifically looking for voiceover work, but I know that they could find work, and that's a hard niche to fill. So I am always looking for good voice talent, and I'm looking for talent. I'm not just looking for voices. I am specifically looking to see if stories are being told or if people are aware of how their voice will move a story along or coerce or so I do go online. I am involved in groups on Facebook and LinkedIn. You know, I was on a panel a couple of years ago where the it was a cable network, and she said on our panel that she found all of her talent via LinkedIn, and I was a dullard. I didn't go there. I didn't know that anybody went there, and so you owe it to yourself as an agent to go finding everybody. But yes, if they find you, they know, everyone knows how to go to a submission page and follow the guidelines there. And everyone should know this very important thing, that no response, and I don't mean you, Dan. No response doesn't mean no forever. Not a no response on you. But so please keep calling.
All right, I'll send you another email and send you my
email and stuff. That's the point. Is you know what I'm alluding to is that, you know, no response or a no today means tomorrow's hopeful. For just general talent trying to get in, and usually submission pages will say, hey, if you don't hear, try again 6 months, 3 months, whatever is the roster will change. I have a very big roster, but I have a tight one. I have what I need, and I have some holes here and there, and it modulates every week. So there's always a chance that you'll be called in. And, you know, a lot of people will say, I submitted to Atlas and I didn't get a call for 6 months, but I'm on the roster now. So it happens when it's supposed to. I run my business completely by myself.
And how much follow-up is too much follow-up?
Well, the agent, you know, will hearken to that on their website. If they don't, there's no end to it. I mean, if it's part of your day to follow up or to seek an agent, then that's part of your day. If you tried them 6 months ago, keep a calendar and try them again. There's really no end to that. I think too much, you know, you wouldn't want to say, I really want to see you. I want to meet you. And I think, well, I don't see most of my talent and I don't have anything against seeing you. But if I go see you, I'm not at my desk. I'm not multitasking. I'm not invoicing. I'm not finding talent. I'm seeing you. It's great to see people, but I wouldn't know half my talent if I ran over them with my car. And so it's not the kind of business where you'd want to say, insist upon seeing in person. Demo links are great because they don't clot up memory on an email, you know, server.
Yeah, but don't follow up every week.
No, I think, you know, I think 3 months is a good starting.
Three months. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Thank you.
Here's something, and it relates to all the news this week, because I've been hearing from a lot of top talent. They're like, this is great, because the people who will succeed are the people who are very good at marketing themselves. That the people that are going to pick up the phone and they act as their own agent, and they're going to make it happen. And there's some people that are very good hustlers out there. But what about, you know, being a really good self-marketer, but also being repped? I mean, I would take it that it's sort of like another tool in your marketing toolbox.
It is. I'm sort of mystified when talent don't self-market that I rep, you know, because it is, think of the outreach that people have on their numbers of friends or their groups that they're parts of or peer groups that they meet in person. That is powerful to them. And if they have a partnership with an agency, a lot of people bring me clients and I won't take the full 10% if they brought it to me sometimes. Just, you know, I'll take a 5%, whatever. But it's a partnership. It's tandem. And everyone should have a social media presence or a website presence and should let people know, hey, I'm studying this. I'm studying animation. I can't wait for my next demo. And that lets people know maybe they didn't know you were doing that part of the acting world. They thought you were just on camera or thought you were just a janitor and had a good voice. And so I'm mystified that people don't do more marketing. I don't like when a talent sends me an email and in the signature it says repped by, it would be like an on-camera agency, but there's no mention of their voiceover. So it's it hurts my heart a little bit because I feel like that's the peg down in their estimation of it starts with on camera and goes to voiceover. So I don't mind being the closet, what we pull out of the drawer, and here's a voiceover actor for you, by the way. But it does, you know, you got to be careful about what you send to people, what's in your signatures, what your social media looks like, what you're saying about other people. If you're bad mouthing people, and I'm thinking, okay, I'd like to rep them, but when I send them to a studio, is that what's going to happen there too? So it does matter what you do online. Have a professional page and have a personal page and be professional. And but yeah, definitely self-marketing. I think it's incumbent upon you to do it, repped or not.
All righty. Jeff Umberger is our guest from the Umberger Agency in Atlanta, Georgia. We're talking about working with agents and how the landscape is changing. And if you've got a question for Jeff, throw it in the chat room. And I know Jack is over there in the chat room gathering up your questions for Jeffrey. So stay tuned for that. We'll get to those questions, talk about a couple other things like demos and social media, and we can continue to talk about rates. I'm sure all of you have questions about that. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with Jeff Umberger here on VoiceOver Body Shop.
Here's a question for you. Do you know what your audition to booking ratio is? As in, how many auditions does it take before you book a job? How about your pipeline? Do you know which jobs you've booked? Which ones you've sent to the client for approvals? How about which ones you've invoiced but haven't been paid yet? Do you know how much you booked this month compared to last month or last year at the same time? Yeah, these questions might make your head spin. You might say, I'm a voice actor, an artist. I don't have a head for business, and I don't want to spend a bunch of time trying to figure out how to keep track of auditions, bookings, who hasn't paid me yet, and when was the last time I booked with that guy anyway? That's why we built VoiceOverview.com, a simple way to track, manage, and grow your voiceover business. Because after all, it is a business. VoiceOverview was built by voice actors for voice actors. Check it out today and start tracking your voiceover business. VoiceOverview.com, your voiceover business made simple.
All righty. You see this guy here that George and I use? I'm going to actually change the position a little bit so it picks me up just perfectly. Not off axis or anything like that. This.
All about you, man.
I know, of course. This is a Harlan Hogan VO1A. This is a microphone that Harlan Hogan himself personally designed with the people at Marshall Electronics to make a microphone that is at a great price point that is designed specifically for voiceover. All the other stuff that we see, you know, all the equipment, when you walk into Banjo Emporium or Sweet, whatever they are, it's all stuff that is designed for music. This one, not. One of the more specific things, and that's one of the great things about Harlan Hogan over at VoiceOverEssentials.com, is that it's made for voiceover.
It's voiced for voiceover.
Outstanding. Excellent. It's one of those things that, you know, when you're a voice actor and you want to have the stuff that works for you, you can get something like this. Great price point. It's available at voiceoveressentials.com. It comes with this great little thing that, you know, allows the mic to be adjusted very easily. You know, you can rub your hands all over it so everybody hears you rubbing your hands on it.
Comes with a good microphone cable because MXL yes. is owned by Magami.
Ah.
And they use the wiring from Agami for all their cables,
right.
Which is really high quality.
Let me get this back in your direction here so they can hear you properly as well. But yeah. this is what you get at voiceoveressentials.com. So go on over to voiceoveressentials.com. It's all one word. Otherwise, it'll say error. Voiceoveressentials.com, you can get there by going to the link at the bottom of our page here, which you're watching this very show on right now, and tell Harlan you want one of these.
Yeah.
Because he's always got great specials going and a number of combo things that he's put together that work really well. So go on over there, tell him we sent you, and buy the VO1A. It's a great microphone.
Are we at minus 4 dB? We're at minus 4 dB on VOBS.
Before time began, there was VOBS.TV. Watch or else.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology, business, and good old-fashioned acting.
I really like your bracelet. It's awesome.
Hey, Paul.
where did you get that watch?
That's really cool.
And a hamburger with no cheese, please.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, only on voiceoverbodyshop.com.
No, could be.
And we're back.
Hey, we are back. Lots of questions from our audience tonight, as we knew we would have.
So many, we might actually have to have a lightning round to get through.
Okay.
Them all, so.
Ding!
Let's see how it goes. First, let me see if I can get my trackpad to not have its button be clicked because the keyboard just moved, pressed on the trackpad. Okay. The button got stuck. Now I can't click. Okay, there we go.
There we go.
Fun with technology. Okay, first one comes from our very own Jack Daniel, right at the top of the list. See, when you run the chat room,
you get your question on the top of the queue.
You do. That's the way it works. Bob Bergen wrote an interesting Facebook post comparing the advent of VoiceBank and the disruption it caused at the time to what is happening today. Not apples to apples, obviously, but he said, among many other things, that the rift between union and non-union will grow wider with membership in the union being advantageous. What do you think?
What do you think?
I'm late. I got to go. I'll talk to you guys later.
Good answer.
I base a lot of my rates off the union minimums. I like the protection it gives. And I think talent that are protected is the bottom line of what I want as an agent, whether it be in the union or non-union. I still think the same protections are there. And I think that as long as people, there's great benefits to being in the union. After time, you get your benefits for your health benefits, hopefully if you earn enough money through the years. And I think that having talent rate minimums is good. I do see, it seems like the world is moving in a non-union direction for the moment. Trends will be trends and they're always changing. But I fear that it could move away from more union work and into non-union, which I think would be scary. It would destroy the rates even more. I've always been pro-union. I think it serves great purposes. I think the talent in the union is great. I also have phenomenal non-union talent, so I don't see that one has one over the other a lead on the ability. I don't quite know what to say. It's a tough thing. I don't know how VoiceBank changed it for Bob or union members when VoiceBank came along, because I was VoiceBank was already there when I started in the voiceover part, and I didn't see the change. I can see what he's saying, that the numbers grew and the competition grew, which I can see is a bad thing if you're an actor sometimes, but it can also be a healthy thing. It keeps us all on our toes and keeps us pushing harder, just like this week has done for me. It's definitely made me push harder. I don't know if that really answers the question. It's a tough one.
Well, I mean, it's totally okay to say, I don't know, when you don't know.
Right.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, there you go.
It's totally cool. Dave Smith asks, I don't have an agent yet, but what can we do as talents to help agents other than moving on from the .com company?
I don't know.
This is going to be a short set of questions.
What can you do besides moving away from the .com? Are you talking about just getting an agent and it's so hard because there's so many people out there?
I think he's talking about getting work in general.
If we can't trust that .com, wait one. I guess maybe another way to say this, we can't trust that one. Which one do we trust?
And trust yourself.
Should we keep sticking it out with the pay to play?
I think you need to keep putting your eggs in several baskets, as they have always said. Don't depend on one, and that's what I was alluding to earlier. Is that I had found safety in VoiceBank as a very dependable source, even though it wasn't sourcing too much of good lately because of bad rates being offered off. But if one doesn't seem to fit because it doesn't match what you feel like a business should be doing for your career, then move on to another format, and that would be those peer groups. A lot of people that I find that aren't repped are finding jobs through people they know, and that means they've been involved in a peer group where they are among equals that share. VoiceOver is one of the most sharing pockets of acting that I've ever seen. if you have ever been to a FAFCON, I don't think there's a pillow that everyone didn't sleep on. That doesn't sound
don't,
right.
Don't put it that way. It's not really what goes on there.
But it was such a friend. It shouted how giving and how fortunate we are to be in VoiceOver together, because we give. So giving comes by sharing jobs. You know, an actor, a very good actor, I approached him because of an ability that he has that's specific. And he knew the job was better suited for someone else and put me on the trail to them. And the client was ultimately really happy. I was astounded. But I'm not surprised, because that's what it does. This group of people we work with do. They share, and they love our community. So, but to find work, you've got to just get out there, put your demo, even if you've got to do it yourself to start, just call people and volunteer to be their answering service or their IVR once. Give one gratis every quarter until you get people to say, okay, well, that was really good. I've had more people have landed recurring jobs from being the scratch video, the free, you know, let's put something down and see what it sounds like guy. So offer to be scratch. It's endless where you can find your work now, because it is digital. You don't want to be a pest. You want to be professional. You want to be what they will get if they do bring you on. They want to see what that picture is going to be like. So that's going to be you having a reason and you having a little pullback on pushing yourself. And be mindful of their time. Any agent's different. My setup is incredibly one-personed, with the exception of some of the invoicing or the bookkeeping, just because I can't count. Real good, but
have an accountant.
But I do have an accountant. I think that sort of answers it. But it's kind of a broad question.
Yeah. Okay. Paul Stefano asks. You know, you're gonna love this one. Yeah. One prominent agency asked talent on Twitter not to submit to them right now while they evaluate the news. Is Umberger Agency the same?
No, there's never really a time. There may be less opportunity for me to focus on it at this moment, because this has been sort of a train wreck, and I'm cleaning up the floor from what fell on it. definitely don't. I don't see my roster needs or my roster wishes or my roster wants changing with this. And heck, I've been busier with jobs before than this has caused. This has caused sort of an emotional difference rather than just a busy thing. This is like, the anthill has been kicked. And so we're having to kind of piece things back together in a different way. But it's for me, it hasn't changed my ability to have incoming submissions. I've, for a good while, not been accepting them, because I have had pretty strong roster. When things do come up, I readily and hopefully happily accept everybody that I know to be good, like Dan. You again, Dan. But certain things, you know, that I wouldn't in a million years bore you with, that go into doing this kind of magnitude of a business, or what comes at you seemingly like a magnitude quake. You just hope to get to everything. And I wake up in the middle of the night just, you know, hurting because I didn't get back to somebody, or I didn't finish something, or I left something off, or it can be stressful if you care about your job. And so I'm also accepting, I have a new youth division called Mini Burgers. It's opened up. And so I'm accepting submissions, all submissions now. And you can see on my submission page where to email that. Be mindful of that too, so that I have it going somewhere specifically, so that my inbox won't, so I won't miss you, because so much comes in a day. I don't want submissions to go by the wayside.
Yeah, if you're going to submit anything to an agent, follow their directions explicitly.
To the note. I mean, as you should do with any client.
To the letter.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Tremaine Kendrick Mosley, in the aftermath of it all, will this force, or better yet, encourage the union to take voice actors more seriously? Also, how will it affect talent from a non-union standpoint? Thanks for standing up for us.
Thank you, Trey.
That's a whopper.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah.
I've, it's funny. First off, I thought, well, Union won't have any issue. They're not challenged by any rate trouble. And a lot of the agents we've been talking with this week have said, all I had to negotiate for Union is if they get double scale or triple scale or scale and a half, whatever, points on the end. That's fun negotiation. But the other to be able to negotiate just to try to get it up to 200 is another beast. I don't know quite how to answer you there, Trey. I know that Union does not want to their talent to be hurt in any way. I think that's part of their getup is that they want to protect, and so do non-union agencies. I think we just keep pulling forward, plugging forward. There was a tail end to your question, though, that I've missed or forgotten.
How will it affect talent from a non-union standpoint?
The occurrence from this week, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, I think so.
It only puts us in, it puts the onus in all of our seats more solidly. It's all up to us. Nobody should, everyone, I should say, should know rates and what's fair. And where you find that is up to you. But there are a couple of very good starter places. So what it means for non-union talent is that you're sort of your own agent in a lot of ways for a while. And if you don't have an agent, or if you can certainly consult with me, Trey, because I'm your agent. I'm happy to help people realize maybe what would be a giveaway rate or a charity rate, or to have verbiage helped out in a release so that you're not giving it away forever and such things like that. But you have to find out what it is that the rate minimums kind of were hanging around, and that a lot of agencies will take the minimums that or the scale from union rate standards and apply it at or near that. So at least you know you're all in the same rate boat. The union rate card can sometimes be tricky to figure out, but you'll see basically all the scale minimums, and you'll add the markups, which would be the pension and health, or the plus 10 for your agent, or in my case, plus 50% for your agent. Just kidding. Wish.
Yeah. John Keeney asks, this is the kind of stuff that John would ask. So you were talking about you had some
Everybody wants to know the answer.
Yeah, everybody's like, what's the answer to this one? What type of talent holes does Jeffrey have on his roster?
I knew it. my mouth. Multilingual is always going to be a commodity. People that can be multilingual and translate, that's a commodity. I am constantly asked for, especially for audiobooks and stuff like that, but commercial even, looking for all ethnicities and all language backgrounds. So if that's you and you're multi or even bi, we could probably stand to talk. Other things is an unknown to us. The trends that advertisers sort of follow each other in style right now, it's becoming sort of a really pulled back announcer read. So maybe the guys that the girls that I brought on that were a little more forward and pushing or didn't have the ability to pull back, maybe I'm needing to bring on two or three more that can pull it back. I'm just speaking about a trend that came to the top of my head, but that's another reason why rosters begin to have holes, is where trends change and I've got to have a couple more numbers of people to put forward. Also, I share a lot of talent with a lot of agencies. So you're multi-listed, and I agree with that concept that you should have multiple agencies around the country in all the different regions. So I don't always get the talent that I have on my roster because they've been asked by another agent. And on that note, I want to address what might help you guys if you're in that dilemma, or not a dilemma, if you're in that luxury of being multi-listed. I don't agree with putting your agent in a race, first come, first serve setup of accepting auditions. I think you need to make the stand and agree with one of your agents that they will be your mother agent or your primary agent preference with them. So if we all send you a Georgia Lottery spot, no matter where you are in the country, if you've established with me lottery, you know, spots come from Umberger first, or, you know, or anything that Umberger, try me for 6 months and see how I do against your other agencies. If you're not already preferenced with someone or haven't been working with them for years.
I was going to say the same thing actually, but about me, but anyway.
I feel like what happens is that instead of putting your agent in a race, you don't know why necessarily an agent hasn't put out an audition yet. Many times I've stuck it out a little longer to try to get a better rate or a better release or a clarity on specs or clarity on why the rate's what it is. And I've gotten rates up. And by the time I've issued my job, everyone's already been called. And my effort to up the rate, everyone that issued the, you know, audition got the benefit from that. Not to say any other agents aren't looking at that same thing, but maybe they put it out there and we're negotiating behind the scenes. So you've put me in a race and I've done something that's to protect you, yet I don't get you. So in that case, that's sort of a 2-point comment there, is that that might be a good way to handle your relationship with an agent. Try primary agent for 6 months and see how you like it. It's always a partnership, and you can always disagree that it's not working out to make Umberger your primary mother agent for everything. Then say, hey, I'll move on and we'll try it again another time. I'll preference with another agent. So if they send me the same audition, I'll go through them, and it's understood between the two of the talent and the agent. But the holes, therefore, come when I have a lot of maybe multi-listed talent that I believe is good and several other agencies think is good. Then if I don't get that actor, I have a void in what the numbers I want to put forth for any kind of role for commercial or whatever it be. So that's when I need to up the ante. I don't have specific holes at the moment, except to say specifically bilingual, multilingual, and older people. Older people have given up on the digital nature of our business, and they said, screw it, I can't figure it out. So I don't have any old people, not as many. And we need that for sure. So,
oh, good.
Does bilingual also count by accent? So if you're doing American and in English, is that considered bilingual?
It's moving away from that. They definitely want to see green card. I mean, not green card. They want to see your passport. they want authentic accents. For years, I was able to put forth a lot of, you know, rednecks who speak good British accent. but they don't want it anymore. And there's too many people that do it authentically, and they know the accents of the regions of UK, let's say, or Scotland or whatever.
Right.
I start there first. I did get someone recently that was for a pretty big video game that was sort of a British, and they wanted authentic, but I told him he wasn't. But he got a callback, and so it got to stage two, or second step, whatever you might say. But so I would not group that in the same need. I think that would be great on a character reel that shows me how many accents you can do.
Good point. Good point.
Yeah.
All right. One of the great things about this week is how engaged the community is with this entire issue with Voice Bank. We had a meeting last week with Wovo. We had over 100 people. They were breaking down the doors. Everybody wanted to talk about it. And the case is the same tonight. We've got a lot more questions. Can you hang out for a little while longer and answer a few more questions?
Yeah, I haven't eaten. That's fine.
Neither have I. Okay.
It's 11:30 on his coast. Or it's 10:30.
It's tomorrow.
All right. Well, we'll be right back with Jeffrey Umberger and your questions. So stay tuned.
What's a Vizzy visual voice demo? And why do you need one? A Vizzy takes your audio-only voice demo and wraps a video around it. The audio track is your voice demo. The video track tells your story and reinforces your brand. And why do you need a Vizzy? Well, what do people see when they're listening to your demo now? Your voice demo may sound terrific, but if your prospect gets distracted, they may not even remember hearing it. By engaging both their senses, sight and sound, your chances of getting noticed and remembered go way up. Besides, when your demo shows up as a video, you're instantly going to stand out from the crowd of voice talents whose demos are nothing but MP3 files that go in one ear and out the other. Your voice demo never looked so good as it will when it's a Vizzy demo. Book your Vizzy visual voice demo today at VizzyDemos.com.
Alrighty. Wherever you are in your voiceover career, from, I don't know, to working pro, there's always that next question that needs answering. About where you're stuck or what to do next. About tech or technique. Come get your questions answered every month. First Monday of every month, we do what's called...
Wednesday, actually, I think it said.
Wednesday. Did it say Wednesday?
Yeah.
Oh, I think
just
I thought...
Just watching your back.
Thank you. We have what's called Ask the Sensei.
Cool.
At the VO Dojo. Mm-hmm. So make sure you get to those. They're absolutely free. And the way to do it is to go to the VODojo.com to sign up. It's the first Wednesday of every month, and it's free.
Free, free, free.
Free, free, free. And you're going to get your questions answered. And the VO Dojo has lots of interesting ways of teaching you how to be a voice actor and teaching you everything there is about the voiceover business, like finding a great agent.
Very
and things
important.
Along those lines. So thanks to the VO Dojo for sponsoring us. And let's get back to Jeff Umberger here, because we've got a few more questions.
Let's get right back into it.
All right.
Hey, I was speaking of VO Dojo, I was her guest a couple of times, and I found talent via being a guest and hearing people read. So that's another good way to get an agent, is to it's sort of a showcase. And if it's free, hey, all the better, huh?
Gotta nice. Love it.
Should show up for these things.
Oh, Tish That's is going to love that. Okay. Yeah. All right. Next question.
Patrick Sweeney.
Pat.
This man right here.
Pat on the back.
Jeffrey, what do you foresee happening at Voice Bank?
The building itself, it'll probably close.
They'll turn it into a TGI Fridays.
Voice Bank. Well, you know, they say it'll stay the same.
So they say.
Yeah, I can trust what they say. I mean... I don't know. I feel like they're, you know, like Colleen, I had such a great fondness for Colleen. She always cared. And I hope that she's going to be able to continue her mission of what she was trying to accomplish there by helping me all those years, and was very communicative and very helpful and supportive to the degree that she could be with, you know, working with the producers and the talent agents and everything. So, it may not change at all. I mean, as far as what the client's experience would be, the buyer's experience may not change at all. And if, for the agencies that have stayed on, it may not change for them. I have, I guess, just when you're acquired by someone that has a different practice than what you seem to have been, I don't know. What I'm saying is that I guess I feel like I don't see how it could stay the same because of the acquisition being from someone that has a different business acumen or a different approach. So I guess it won't stay the same. I'm not here to say it will be horrible, but it wasn't something that I felt like I wanted to stick around and find out.
Mm. All right. Devox and Karen O'Brien had very similar questions. So are there now alternatives to Voice Bank, and how do they compare? And is our breakdown services a viable alternative? Are there other breakdown services as a viable alternative to Voice Bank?
Yeah, there are other platforms where actors can be present. Agents can find them. Clients can find them. You can book through them. And there's a lot being developed this week. I can't believe the internet hasn't been broken of the scrambling that's going on to get other platforms in place. It was kind of odd. I mean, in my on-camera agenting days or my experience with it, there were several breakdown services for on-camera. And seemingly so, for so many years, there was basically one presence in voiceover for the breakdown. So it's kind of strange that it never really took place much more before this, where there were that same amount of interaction on a breakdown service. So, but this week is going to be resulting in a lot of options. I'm trying to, you know, tell my clients, hang in there. You won't be having to receive my email submissions for your auditions all in an email or up in a link or something. So it is going to change rapidly. And, you know, with that change, you'll have people that have false starts or people that didn't quite do it right, and have some people that'll just hit it right on the head. And I'm thankful for the options that I am excited to see what's coming up. You know,
Well, along with that question, Jack was nice enough to give us a little more information about breakdown services for a lot of people that don't know what it is. And that's breakdown services with a capital B, capital S. That's a company, as I understand it. They release over 43,000 projects per year throughout North America and maintain a database of over 845,000 actors. Breakdown Services and its family of companies, including Actors Access, Casting About, The Creative Index, Talent Link, Talent Pro Plus. I almost said Talentropolis. Talent Pro Plus.
Oh, that'll work too.
And Showfax has been an integral part of the working actor's life since 1971. We are committed to providing services that make the casting process seamless for casting directors, talent representatives, and actors. We are dedicated to educating and encouraging actors and filmmakers at every stage of their career by supporting events and symposiums across North America.
So we're not alone.
Right.
Wow. How about that? That seems, I mean, there are a lot of Actors Access was one for the on-camera, you know, thing too. And there's casting networks and real-time casting. There's all sorts of, you know, efforts this week. It's just been very exciting to hear from and about what everyone's trying to do to scamper, to make theirs that were already in place sort of retrofit or ultra fit what our needs are.
Ultra fit. I like that. Ultra fit.
Yeah.
That's the size underwear I wear.
Last question
from Paul Strickruta, who's not been silent this week, to say the least. Voices.com has a lot more money to spend. Where does Jeffrey think they'll go next? What would be the biggest threat to our community? Your service and release over, our service and release over 43,000 breakdowns annually.
Well, that's a copy paste error.
Yes, yeah, thanks.
Forget that last bit. That okay, didn't belong there.
What's the biggest threat to our community based on this?
I would say right now North Korea.
Yeah,
I ain't worried about them.
But aside from that, I think, you know, what J. Michael Collins was alluding to is that, you know, I don't believe a company with these funds will leave any competition out there. So if you call that a threat, I think it is. I mean, I think that is bad. It's empowering, pretty much, one way of doing business or one company that's got a bulk of that type of market. You know, for me, I still go back to what it is that I have been blessed with and thankful for, being able to make my business work, is the personal and the my own efforts as an agency and my own abilities to social media. I think that just, again, will make us double down, regardless of what happens, and who buys what. If the actors and the producers, which I have repeat that I have had producers, you know, coming to our side or coming to help us figure out another way, if that's not where they're comfortable either. So there are options in play that will make any force that's trying to gobble up. That gobbling up is powerful, but it'll only make us all work that much harder. It sounds, you know, silly to say it, because work harder with what and where, but we've got to figure out those angles. And again, it sort of harkens to what I've discovered that people are doing this week. They are figuring out those angles as if the next purchase has been bought.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, So, Jeff, we really appreciate the time you've taken with us tonight. And of course, the time you've taken this week to explain yourself and the stands that you've taken on this. And, you know, it's raised your stature in our community, and everybody respected you beforehand, but now even more so. And we really thank you for being with us tonight and sharing your views on this.
Thank you, Dan and George. And I appreciate being able to be here. It was good timing. I was very happy about it. And I respect and love our community, and that's what drives us all. So we got to be voice strong, as the hashtag has been. So baby steps.
Excellent. All right. Thanks. Well, we'll talk to you real soon.
I hope so. It was fun.
All righty. Jeffrey Umberger from the Umberger Agency in Atlanta. All right. So should we take a break or just...
No, let's just wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up.
We've done all our breaks.
That's a wrap.
Let's just say goodbye to everybody and let's do our end of the show thing.
Oh, okay. Well, first off...
Who's coming up next?
Next week on this very show in our studio.
Oh, in person?
In person.
In the flesh.
Coming over the hill from Beverly Hills, Phil Proctor is going to be here. And from the Fire Sign Theater, we're going to talk about audio sketch comedy, which should just be a riot.
When you say Fire Sign, then it hits home. I knew what they were as a kid.
Yeah.
I just didn't know who the actors were and who was involved.
Phil Proctor
with it, so
was one of the prime movers with them. And you know, stuff from my childhood. Well, from when I was in high school anyway. And it's, I've always wanted to meet him, and that should be great. Who are our donors of the week?
Well, I'm compiling the donors right now.
I've okay.
got most of them into the list here. But we'll start at the very top, the list I've got here. And that is, we've got, because they come in right up to the minute, actually. People donate during the show, which is cool. Eric Aragoni, Tracy H. Reynolds, Maria Mackis, Antland Productions, Brian Rausch, Joseph Harrison, Jack DeGolia, voiceover, Christy Burns. Those are the ones that have come in the last week or so since
Fabulous.
Our last episode. And we really appreciate everybody supporting the show in the way that they do.
It's, right. it's what helps make it consistent that it's on the air every week or on the internet or whatever it is that we call this. And it's working because of your help, and we really appreciate
that. Kind of those little donations, you know, they make you feel like you have some kind of ownership of the show.
Because
you know?
You do.
And it's really, we take it seriously. We really, really do appreciate it. Because even though we do have sponsors on the show, these things help fill in the gaps for a lot of us. So thank you.
And the donate button is right up there.
It is. It's on vobs.tv. If you want to donate, if you're listening on the podcast, you feel so inclined. One of these days, we'll set up one of those super fancy schmancy text donation thingy-jiggies.
Ooh, cool. All right.
We can text a number. We haven't got that working yet.
All righty. Our opening voiceover was provided by the amazing John Taylor. We swear to God we're working on a
new intro. Saying that, because then they're going to like hold us to it.
Well, they're going to have to. Well, we're going to get it together in the next week or so.
What am I up to?
What you already talked
you
about.
You heard that. What I'm up to.
Yeah,
George the
you're,
Tech.
You're up to it to about here.
Yeah, George the Tech. .com. So that's where you're going to find me to get tech support, build processing stacks, design your studios. You know the stuff I do if you listen and watch the show sometime over the last 6 years. That's where you find me at georgethetech.com.
Right. And you can reach me at dan@danleonard.com or go to homevoiceoverstudio.com if you've got some questions about building your initial studio or if you've got a problem, we're the guys to talk to. Let's see here. Show logs.
They're on the top of the page, made by Jack. Searchable. Find stuff about what's been on shows. If you're wondering what happened to the previous episode, if you're looking for it, it's going to be reposted soon. I had to redact something from the show. I mentioned the wrong
like we said, website up to here with it.
On the last show, so that will be reposted soon, I promise. But show notes.
Right.
Yeah. That's okay. where you find them, right on the top of the page.
Right. And, of course, we have the podcast, which you can get on Podbean, Stitcher Radio, iTunes. It's all there.
Yep.
Also, take the survey. It's right here on our page. So click it. Tell us what you want to see on the show. And if you want to be in our studio with our vast audience here, if you're going to be in the greater Los Angeles area, we'd love to have you here on the show.
Indeed.
Just write to us at theguys@vobs.tv. Tell us when you're going to be in town so we know that we're actually doing a show that night. Because if you just show up here, it's going to be like, and you are?
You put audience in the subject just to help make it stand a little bit more. And you can be here and pet the dogs and eat yummy treats.
That's right. All righty. We need to thank our sponsors, Vizzy Video Demos.
Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VO2GoGo and Rehearsal App.
The VO Dojo.
And VoiceOver View for providing an uninterrupted live stream and bandwidth of this very show. And we'd like to thank them. Also, I'd like to thank Marcy for letting us be out here in the garage. Our producer, Catherine Curran, for getting great guests like Jeff Umberger.
Oh, man. Dynamite guest.
Yes. Jack Daniel for all his help with the chat room tonight.
Thanks, Jack.
And our amazing, there he is, and our amazing floor producer, Andrew Bushwitz, who just does it the way we ask.
There he is.
You got to love it. And
we opened the door all the way tonight.
So now you can see him. Get the shot of him. Wave again there.
You can finally see Andrew. And now the door will close again.
Okay, cool. And, of course, Lee Penny, simply for being Lee Penny. All right. We have a new Mugman coming up right after the show. Don't go away. You thought this was a great show? Now you get a little bonus feature. Anyway, that's going to do it for us this week. Join us next week. This is a tough business. You know, you've got to work at it. You've got to learn. You've got to do all your own research. No one's going to do it for you.
Especially now.
Yeah, especially now. Anyway, so tune in every week. We'll try and help you with as much as we can.
Give you a leg up.
Now I'm doing Harpo Marx here. All righty. I'm Dan Leonard.
I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or VOBS. Have a great week, everybody.
Mugman.
Why? How do you get so good?
Oh, hey, Mugman.
Oh, hey, Sammy. Check out this. You okay?
Oh, at least I was wearing a helmet.
Hey, funny man. Sammy boy. I built the spruce goose from scratch. It look like a goose. Geese are funny.
Hilarious.
And a perfect landing.
Hey, check this out.
Check out this biplane. Oh.
I want the number of whoever's playing that was.
And Pimenta is the winner, and she wins a $10 gift certificate to Valvano's Pizza.
You guys want to try?
I'll give it a shot.
Pizza?
Learn the latest in voiceover technology.
Business.
A good old-fashioned actor.
Hey, Paul, I really like your suit. Where did you get it? It looks good on you.
This is VOBS.